Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And on the next Leonard Lopate Show, meet a sociologist who quit school to become a cop in Baltimore. He describes what it's like for an academic to work on the front lines of the war on drugs. That's today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. So the manager of Blue Pig, do you know it? The ice cream shop in Brooklyn Heights, could face some time in the pen. Daniel Kaufman was arrested for allegedly stealing almost $25,000 by double-dipping on customers' credit cards. Joining us now to talk about this is an expert on this kind of thing. He is Robert Siciliano, CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com. Robert, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning to you.
Are you familiar with this case, first of all?
Yes, I've heard a little bit about it.
So how do you understand the charges, and how would someone go about doing this kind of thing if, in fact, he did it?
Well, first, it's not that difficult. I mean, any waiter, waitress, gas station attendant, anybody at a point of sale, any retailer can just simply skim your credit card. They can write those numbers down. They can copy the information on the magnetic strip in a number of different ways. And once they do, they can either double charge you at that same merchant's address, or they can place orders for products and services over the phone, via the internet. I mean, it's just not a very difficult thing to do at all.
It sounds so easy that I wonder why it doesn't go on all the time. We're constantly giving our credit card numbers to people, or, you know, giving our credit cards to swipe at the end of a restaurant meal or whatever. And, you know, you think, well, they have it there. People don't check their credit card statements so carefully sometimes. Why doesn't this happen over and over and over again?
It does happen over and over again. There's as much as $50 billion lost every single year regarding identity theft and credit card fraud. And it's just a matter of time until it happens to you. So it's very important that you pay close attention to your credit card statements, making sure that you are paying close attention to those charges, and that if there have been any unauthorized charges, that you respond to that credit card company as quickly as possible, generally within a 60-day period of time, in order to avoid any fees and charges where you may end up paying for the crime or the fraud that the identity thief had done under your name.
So, listeners, do you have any questions for our credit card fraud expert? Have you ever been a victim of credit card identity theft? Give us a call, 646-778-3729. Or if you had ice cream at the Blue Pig and are wondering where that butter pecan scoop has wound up leaving your credit rating, give us a call, 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. And also with us now is Murray Weiss, criminal justice editor for the New York Post. Hi, Murray. Welcome back to WNYC.
Yes. Hi, Brian. Nice to be there.
So Daniel Kaufman, he's the manager of a number of eateries, Blue Pig, Wine Bar, The Oven, and Busy Chef. You know this guy?
Well, I know him only through I've written about him. He apparently, you know, has a little bit of his own up and down history. But in this case, he was the manager of these five places. So he had access to all the proceeds and credit card information at the end of the night. And what he's accused of doing was writing down or taking the credit card information from two of the restaurants that he managed, and then going over to two other ones that he managed and running those credit card numbers through the second restaurant's billing system. That accomplished one very simple thing for him. He was able to take all the cash in the till and put it in his pocket and bill other nonfiction, if you will, diners at the restaurant for the proceeds he was taking.
So in other words, if these charges are accurate, maybe somebody ate at Busy Chef and rang up a $50 bill, that got charged, then he took the credit card or the credit card number and swiped the same charge maybe over at the wine bar, so you'd see a $50 charge from each one? Was it like that?
No, I think it was a little more insidious. He would take your numbers and run it a second time at a second restaurant. But in one case, he ran a $7,000 charge on the credit card. He didn't, like, match identical numbers.
Oh.
If you bought, you know, five slices of pizza kind of thing and had some Coke. At the other restaurant, he used your credit card, and suddenly a restaurant of a different name would pop up on your credit card. In one case, he apparently tried to run a $20,000 bill through one credit card, but it seems the credit card company rejected it.
But that's so dumb. I mean, how could he think that somebody's not going to notice a $7,000 or a $20,000 swipe?
Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, nobody says people who try to pull these scams are, you know, landing men on the moon here. But in some respects, many times these sorts of scams, if they're not done on a large scale, perhaps he was desperate for money for a reason that we don't know. He might have child support issues, which I think there were some things going on in his life. But if he might have done this on a smaller scale, which a lot of people do, it's a lot harder to detect for sure.
Right. Robert Siciliano, CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com. What do those large charges tell you?
It tells me that he probably had some type of a drug problem. I mean, it's not appropriate for me to speculate in that manner, but the reality of it is when someone is making charges like that, and like the Post journalist said, there's usually some form of desperation going on. Criminals, when they're doing things like that, it's relatively impulsive as a result of some other effects. I mean, if this is a relatively successful business and business person, something had to be gone wrong. And they try to justify these crimes in a number of different ways. And whether it's a drug addiction or some type of other debt owed or whatever the case may be, sounds like this person had come undone at some point in their personal and now in their professional lives. And that's generally what leads people to commit these types of crimes.
Francis in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Francis.
Hi. I just got a bill today. It's funny that you're talking about it, I don't know if I can say the name of the company, but it was for $600, and I never applied for the credit with them, and I called them. They said they sent me a fraud affidavit.
You mean you didn't even know you had a credit card with that company, and you got a $600
exactly.
charge on that card?
Exactly, yes.
All right, Robert?
And they wouldn't even let me... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
They wouldn't even tell me when it was applied for or, where. They said they couldn't give me that information.
Robert Siciliano, is this a situation you've heard of before?
Yeah, and my guess is that incident really has nothing to do with the person who is double-dipping, because generally that, in order for that new credit to be opened up under that person's name, the caller, that perpetrator...
No, clearly this is an unrelated question, but what about that kind of credit card situation?
Oh, new credit card fraud is one of the most common forms of credit card fraud. It's when somebody gets your personal information and they begin to open up accounts under your name without your knowledge. And then they go ahead and, charge off those cards, maximize them out really quickly, and of course they don't pay the bills. And then you, the victim, are stuck with the debt and have to prove your innocence that you were not the person that had applied for or received that credit card. And then you go through a process of having to restore that compromised identity. It's an absolute nightmare for most people that it happens to.
Now, here's a comment on our webpage that says, when I was in Brazil, I noticed that credit cards were never out of a person's sight. At gas stations and restaurants, they brought the credit card machine to the car or table on a plate, and it was swiped right in front of you. So, Robert, do you think that the way we do it in this country is more nonchalant than other places?
Without a doubt, there's no question about it. And even in the UK, they do the exact same thing. They bring the terminal to you. It's a wireless terminal. And that still can be compromised. I mean, just because somebody brings the terminal to you or they swipe it at the table does not mean that you are immune. There's still a number of ways where your information can be compromised one way or the other. Ultimately, as the consumer, regarding the credit cards in your wallet, you cannot protect that number. Don't even try to do so, because there's no way. Your responsibility, again, is to pay close attention to those statements every single month.
Murray, this guy, Kaufman, had apparently an upstanding citizen reputation. That's according to the story in the Post. What was that based on?
Well, I think he was, on one hand, he was... He had a business background and had worked at these restaurants for a number of years. And in the restaurant community, particularly in the Brooklyn Heights, downtown Brooklyn area, he was somebody who was well-known on the scene, if you will. It's kind of like this handsome, good-looking, restaurateur kind of guy. I think, however, that there were complications in his personal life. perhaps from a previous marriage or something that had to do with child support, perhaps that weighed in on this, among other, you know, like your other guest is speculating on what other things are going on in his life that would force him to feel compelled to start stealing money.
I don't know if you know that strip in Brooklyn Heights, but all those four places are right together there. And what happens? Are they still open? Blue Pig, Wine Bar, the Oven, Busy Chef that he owns. What happens to that whole strip, and what's the ripple effect on the local economy if there is one?
Well, I believe they're still open and functioning. Obviously, he's derailed a bit and tied up with some legal issues, but it hasn't shuttered any of the businesses. But you're correct; they're all tightly, they're in a tight little knit block or two of Henry Street, around Henry Street,
right?
And very popular with the whole downtown Brooklyn crowd.
Bob on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Someone tried to steal my identity and applied for an American Express card in my name. I caught it before it actually occurred. But American Express, and from what I understand, other companies like this, don't try to go to prosecute. And I was wondering why.
Robert Siciliano, is that true?
Yeah, it's really just beyond their, I guess they could spend the time and effort and money to do that, but in the end, it's just debt that they write off. I mean, there really is no motivation for them to do so. It really is up to the consumer to pay close attention to, their own credit reports, looking for any accounts that have been opened up under their name and refuting those accounts and, disputing with the credit card companies themselves. It just the way the system is currently set up, it's very easy for anyone at any given time to open up new credit under your name. There's really very little checks and balances in that system. Credit, as you and I know it, is wide open. And due to that fact, at any given time, anybody who gets your social can simply just become you and open up credit under your name. That isn't due to change anytime soon. So really, at this point, it's really important for consumers to invest in protection, that as long as the system is as is right now, and it will be at least for the next decade or more, you really need to incorporate fraud alerts, ongoing fraud alerts, into your security for your credit, meaning that anytime anybody tries to open up a new account under your name, that fraud alert will essentially alert you to the fact that somebody's trying to open up new credit.
So there are all kinds of companies trying to sell us those services right now. Are there any that either you're affiliated or that you recommend independently?
I do, actually. OneU.com, because there should only be one U, is a service that does just that. And while you can get a fraud alert yourself, they expire after 90 days. And what OneU does is they make sure that fraud alert stays permanent on your record as long as you're a client. And in the event that your identity is actually compromised, they basically reset the clock. They bring you back to 100%.
Just for disclosure, do you have any interest in that company?
Of course I do. They actually have a solution. And any company that has a solution, I champion.
All right. Murray Weiss, in our last 30 seconds, do you know of any, can you think of any other cases like that? I mean, obviously identity theft happens all the time, but where it's like a local neighborhood merchant and the guy in the store is going and charging your card down the block, is this a unique thing?
Oh, yeah, well, it's not new. It happens around town. People stick these things on over your credit card, over the credit card, swipe things and pick up your account. It's not unique. In fact, some of the credit card companies have been working with the police and trying to get people not to report the, not shut down their credit cards so that they can actually catch the people using them.
All right.
And there was a case of a Brooklyn busboy.
We have to
leave
it there. I'm sorry to say, I would have loved to hear that story. But Murray Weiss, criminal justice editor for the New York Post, Robert Siciliano, CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com. Thanks both for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.